To discuss the legal issues involved in this case, we invited in Professor Gary Solis. He's an adjunct professor at Georgetown University, an expert on war crimes and the law of war. I asked him if the abuses depicted in those photos of Iraqi prisoners constitute war crimes.
Probably not, and that's because those who we have seen in these photographs probably are not prisoners of war. Anyone who was captured after occupation began would not be a prisoner of war. They would be criminals, they would be insurgents. So the law of war only applies when there is a war in progress, when you have armed conflict between two or more high contracting parties to the Geneva Conventions. And the war clearly is over in Iraq, and we are now in an occupation phase. So anyone who is captured during the occupation phase is not a prisoner of war, but rather is simply a prisoner.
Well, let's talk about interrogation. We've just heard that, according to one of the soldiers accused in this case, that military contractors were involved in the interrogation process. First, why are we using contractors?
Well, the only reason I can imagine that we are using contractors for such a delicate operation or such a significant operation is because we don't have enough military personnel to do the job. Of course, that's a problem we have throughout the military today. There has been so much outsourcing. There have been so many jobs in the military which have been deleted in favor of contractors that now, when we need soldiers and Marines to do particular jobs, we don't have them available. We have only trigger pullers.
Well, if we do have contractors who are conducting interrogations, they are working for the military. Are they subject to the Geneva Conventions?
Well, they would only be subject to the Geneva Conventions if there was a war going on. And since there is not a war in progress, the Geneva Conventions simply are not in play. So they would be subject to what? Not the Uniform Code of Military Justice, because only military personnel are subject to the UCMJ. And I think that that is one of the critical factors in regard to contractors in the combat zone. Who are they responsible to? And the answer is the only person who could try them would be a U.S. attorney. And there is no U.S. attorney here in the United States who is going to take much interest in a case that happens thousands of miles away to someone who is not even a citizen of his district.
So they're not responsible to anyone at all in Iraq?
Well, they would be subject to the Iraqi laws if Iraqi laws are functioning, if Iraqi courts are open. But I don't believe Iraqi courts are open and functioning today. So essentially, they are without supervision. They are not subject to the laws or controls of anyone.
Well, the soldier we heard about said he wasn't instructed in the rules of the Geneva Convention, said he wasn't given guidance on how to deal with the prisoners. Does it surprise you that we have this soldier saying, you know, I didn't know about how to handle this?
It not only surprises me, I don't believe him. And that is because he is a member of the 800th Military Police Brigade, which is specified as an EPW-capable brigade. That is to say,
EPW,
enemy prisoner of war. Their special assignment is to deal with EPWs. And anyone who's assigned to that brigade is going to be specifically and specially trained in dealing with EPWs. And for him to say he had no training, I find that very difficult to believe.
Because a soldier belonged to that brigade.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But I guess my question is, if a soldier says, well, you know, my superior officer told me to do this, and I'm following orders, is there a situation where a soldier says, this is wrong and I don't do it, regardless of whatever the order is?
There very definitely is. Some orders are so clearly improper that they must not be obeyed. I want you to shoot the prisoners. I want you to rape the women. So if an order is patently illegal, clearly illegal, on its face, it must not be obeyed. And it doesn't take a genius to know that instructions to abuse prisoners, to pose them in sexually explicit ways, to demean them, is wrong.
Well, the officer who was in charge of prisons throughout Iraq, General Janice Karpinski, suggests she didn't know what was going on, that the reservists acted at the instruction of military intelligence officers. Should she have known what was going on?
It's a difficult issue for her because she was running 16 prisons in, that is, she was in charge of 16 prisons in Iraq and had responsibility for everything that happened in them. Obviously, no officer can know everything that's going on in such a widespread command. But, yes, she should know if there is something systemically wrong in the conduct of her command, as there apparently was here. And I think that regardless of what happens to lower-ranking individuals, this officer, a brigadier general, is going to be reassigned, and I would say that her career is definitely at an end.
Professor, you served in Vietnam. What is your experience in terms of how people handle prisoners? Were you aware of any kind of abuses like this happening?
In Vietnam, we had our problems as well, of course, and they're well documented. And we, in Vietnam, as a matter of fact, prosecuted and convicted 95 soldiers for misconduct in regard to prisoners and 27 Marines for the same offenses.
And you also went on to serve in the military court, didn't you?
I did. After Vietnam, I got my law degree and returned to the service as a judge advocate, where I served as a prosecutor and eventually as a military judge.
Professor Solis works at Georgetown University. He is an expert on war crimes and the laws of war. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.